Accession number 31448, Mr. Roy Jones, Real 5. Now, how did you get on with the other lads, you know, the other recruits in your group?
Quite well, really. I can't remember any of the names now or where they came from, and I don't think that I really palled up with one individual like I did later on in my service career. I don't know whether it was because that you knew that when you finished there, you probably wouldn't see them again, because you all went to different regiments, you see. And of course, while we were there, we had a lecture one day that, and I mean, as regards commando, I wouldn't have known in them days what that really meant, and all that went along with it. And these people came and give us a sort of short talk on commando work and whatever, and then ask for volunteers. Because like the old saying, one volunteer is better than 10 press men. But I stuck my hand up, along with two or three others. They didn't get many. But I never had any arguments or like didn't get along with any of them. We were all fine.
No bullying.
No bullying whatsoever. None whatsoever. Even from the NCOs.
How'd you get on with them, the instructors? What were they like?
They were fine. They were all probably peacetime soldiers that had seen service, because don't forget, by then you're in October 1944, although D-Day hadn't started.
Oh, it had?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah, wait a minute, I'm getting mixed up.
June
44. But I don't know whether these fellas, because I can remember, I think one of them was called, I think it was a Sergeant Day, and he had medal ribbons up. Now, for all I know, they could have been First World War ribbons. I don't know. And if they were regular soldiers and they served overseas, well, they probably did get the odd medal for whatever went on at that particular time. But, they were fine. I think we had two sergeants, one corporal, looking after us. One was Sergeant Day. I can remember him as plain as the nose on my face.
And what were they like? I mean, were they all swearing and shouting? Or
No. All right, you got the odd one that if people weren't coming up to the mark or they were showing signs of relaxing too much and letting their appearance or their cleanliness go, well, then they obviously jumped on them. Because you can't really let people not go clean and when they're living amongst other men, and really in close proximity then, because in palace barracks, in the huts we were in, it was bunks, one at the top, one at the bottom. You didn't have like a single bed each. It was a bunk to tell two, one at the top, one at the bottom. But anything else from the NCOs, they were fine.
They knew the stuff. I mean,
yes, they really did know the stuff. And the one favourite saying out of this, not the Sergeant Day, the other one was, well, if you think you're having it hard here, wait till you get to your battalions. That was a favourite one of his. And of course, we used to take the mickey out of him by saying to him, oh, wait till you get to your battalion, this, that, and the other, you know. Which I think you probably got that from a lot of people, really, when you're going through recruit training and you're not actually with a regiment. You're in what this, as I told you, as I said earlier on, was the General Service Corps. It's not like being in a battalion as such. You all know that you're there training and once that 6 months finishes, then you all drift your different ways, and that's it. And that was the big thing. If you volunteered in them days, your training was 6 months. But if you were called up, they only did about 8 weeks, 12 weeks. That was the big difference. And I couldn't understand why. For the life of me, I couldn't understand why if you volunteered. And I didn't know at the time that if you volunteered, you did 6 months. But if you didn't volunteer, you did between 8 and 12 weeks. And I forget the name of the place in Ireland that they went to. They went to Ireland as well, people that were called up, because my mate, who lived a couple of doors from me, who joined the Royal Marines with me later on, he finished up in Ireland training, and I can't remember the place now. It'll probably come to me later on. But they were at a different place than us.
Now, what about this volunteering for commandos? What, did anything come of it?
Well, when we finished there, a couple of us went to Wrexham to Hermitage Camp.
Now, so you had volunteered.
Yeah, I volunteered. Yeah.
Right. So what happened then? You were separate. You didn't go straight to.
No, as soon as we finished in the training with the General Service Corps, which was 6 months.
So that would be what, October-ish?
October-ish, yeah. And then we were taken to Wrexham, which was Hermitage Camp.
Now, what was happening there?
Well, they were the, I think it was a place that more or less sorted people out. I think the routine there was somewhat like 12 weeks there. And then you finished your commando course at Achnacarry in Scotland.
At where?
Achnacarry in Scotland. And I believe, because I didn't make it to there, but I believe it was very tough at Achnacarry.
So what happened? So you went to Hermitage Camp in
Hermitage
October?
Hermitage Camp in the October, yeah. But I only lasted about a month. And it was...
Now, what was happening there? Was that commando training?
Not as such, it was a little bit harder than what we'd done at Palace Barracks, in as much as there was more physical work there, a lot more milling, which we talked about early on, a lot more of that. But I got an abscess in my ear, in my right ear, and I didn't realise the repercussions of that, what would be. And when I went to the medical room with it, and they had a look, they said, oh, it's an abscess in your ear. And the next day I was called and told me I was being RTU'd. That was returned to unit. Now, I didn't have a unit because I'd been to, I just finished training in Northern Ireland. But I was sent to Netherhaven. No, wait a minute. We were under canvas. Outside Shrewsbury somewhere. Would that be Netherhaven?
Not sure.
No, I'm not sure now. But anyway, I was sent to, it'll probably come to me in a minute. We were sent there, and the 1st Battalion, to the 1st Battalion Royal Welsh Fusiliers. And what was happening at the camp, we were under canvas, and you were just sent there waiting for a draft to join the 1st Battalion Royal Welsh Fusiliers, who were in the Far East at the time.
So nothing was happening in the transit. It's a transit camp, really.
Yeah, well, it was just like a reinforcement place for, and nothing happening there, because I was only there about 2 weeks, and I got sent for on the Sunday morning. We didn't do a thing during them 2 weeks. And I was sent for on the Sunday morning to pack me kit, report to the orderly room in an hour, and there'd be a 1500 weight wagon there waiting for me to take me to the station. I was being transferred to the 1st Battalion South Wales Borderers, who were based in Maidstone, Kent, Vinters Park, Maidstone in Kent. So when we got down, well, I was the only one, got down to Maidstone. I was picked up in a three.
This was what, 11, November or December by now?
November. I was sent there, and when I arrived in a three-tonner into the camp, I got the shock of my life. There was every regiment under the sun. Bits and bobs from every regiment under the sun there. Even Royal Artillery, Army Service Corps, the lot. And then this RSM come to meet the truck. And I'll never forget him. He was the Grenadier Guards RSM. And I don't think he could have been very happy, because he wasn't with his old regiment. He'd been transferred, like the rest of us, to the South Wales Borderers. It was RSM Shimmons, his name was. And just as I got off the truck, he said, right, get yourself to the clothing store, change that hat, the berry, and change your flashes on your tunic. So then we were told what was happening was the 1st Battalion South Wales Borderers had took a hammering in the Middle East, and they were reforming the battalion in Vinters Park. And the idea was to get people from anywhere to bring the battalion back up to battalion strength. And after a while there, for the first week or so, we didn't do a thing. And then, I don't know how this happened, and I still can't fathom it out to this day. I was put to HQ Company and sent to the band. And there they said, right, would you like to be a drummer? So I said, well, I'll give it a go. And that was the start of a musical career with the South Wales Borderers, the 1st Battalion South Wales Borderers.
Now, you couldn't drum before?
No. They taught me.
Now, tell me about learning to drum then. Cause
oh, it was funny. You were issued with a drum. It was your own. And the first thing you were taught was how to string a drum, how to put a new skin on, because they were the jobs that you had to do yourself anyway, new skins and what have you. Anyway, we had this band sergeant who taught us the rudiments of drumming and one thing and another, and I took to that like a duck out of water. And there were some people who never made it. I think all it was, they just wanted a corps of drums to go with the rest of the band that was there. And I suppose, in a way, if they'd have asked for volunteers, I'm not too sure whether they'd have got them or not. Because it was sort of, in a way, they were asking you, would you like to do it? But in the background, you could feel yourself that they wanted you to do it. And so that was it. And then all that was then from, that would be, how long were we there? 6 months, I think, in Mason in Vinters Park, something like that.
Now, so you were just learning to drum, and you took to it well.
Yeah, yeah, no problem. By we left to join the battalion in the Middle East, I was okay.
Now, what was the composition of the band? I mean, there's drummers. What else was in it?
Well, this if you were a drummer, you solely played a drum. You didn't play a bugle or anything like that. So we had a chord of drums, which was about, how many was there? I've got a photograph upstairs somewhere. Probably one, two, three, six, probably nine. And probably about 12 buglers. And that consisted of the band. They didn't have any sort of other musical instruments. That was the band. I don't know whether that was the sort of thing at that time. It was just drummers and buglers. I wouldn't know.
Now, were you trained as a stretcher bearer as well? Like the bandsmen used to be stretcher bearers as well, but perhaps not then.
No, what we were trained for was anti-tank. Six-pounder anti-tank.
Now, tell me about your training on that.
Well, they had anti-tank guns, six-pounders. Within the battalion. But first of all, if I can go back and say, right, we left Maidstone.
So during the 6 months there, you didn't do the anti-tank gun?
No.
Right, okay, well, we'll hold that, you're right. So you were just learning the drums. Anything else? 6 months, quite a long time.
I know. 6 months, we did a bit more infantry training, and because you were expected to do that anyway, infantry training, route marches, field craft and what have you.
Anything new, or was it all
No, just... it was all what we'd been already taught. But you were expanding a little bit more because you were actually with a battalion then, which was totally different than being with the General Service Corps. I think what it was, you treated it more seriously once you got, you know, you knew you were in a battalion and you were there for real. So we did that, and then we sailed in the October for the Middle East.
Now, was it the whole battalion going, or was it a big draft?
Just a big draft went.
And what's your memory of the voyage?
It was pretty horrible, really, because... Oh, no, I probably misled you there. No, it was the whole battalion that went from Maidstone. They'd come home to reform. What bit was left home to reform. So that was it. And then the whole battalion went out because there was over 1,000 of us on this troop ship.
Do you know which troop ship it was?
Yeah, the Champollion. I said that before, didn't I? That was the Champollion. Don't ask me how to spell it because I don't know. A French liner. And all the cooks and everything on board were French, so the food wasn't very nice.
Now, what month was it you went?
October.
October 45.
45, yeah.
Now that's more than that's 11 months, because you joined them in November.
I may have got the months wrong. I haven't got the month wrong for going out.
Yeah.
This might. We left Ireland in November, 6 months.
November 44.
Yeah, would be. Then I think we went on leave. And then to Wrexham. I know what I've done. I've missed some out. I've missed Newtown out, haven't I?
Now, when was Newtown?
Just let me get this in me. When I left Ireland, went to Wrexham.
You're only in Wrexham a month?
Yeah. And then, that was it. And then... I was sent to Newtown. That was it.
And what was that to?
That was the 21st Army Holding Unit. The 21st Army was in Europe then, my memory serves me correctly. That was the 21st Army group, yeah. So we were sent there, and there must have been about to Newtown.
Where is Newtown? Just remind me.
Mid Wales. And that introduction to that place, is the tape on now?
Yeah, you're fine, yeah.
The introduction to that place, when we got off the train.
So that would be November 44, December-ish.
Yeah, December-ish. Might have been December, January of that, you know, around about that time anyway. We get off the train in Newtown, and this sergeant met us and just took us down the road a bit, and there was a big corn exchange, big, massive building. Took us in there first. And details and everything. And then he said, right, take you to the camp. And that was a bit of a truck ride further out. I went to the camp, and it was wasn't Nissen huts, it was brick buildings, huts. But it was a massive camp.
You know its name?
No. All I knew was that it was the 21st Army holding unit. I went there, and there must have been a couple of thousand troops there from all different regiments. And you were just stuck there, and I think I must have been there for 5 months or more. And we used to go on the parade ground. Oh, first of all, I must tell you this. When we went there, we went to the stores, and he threw a couple of blankets, a mattress cover, and a white rolled pillar, empty. Showed us the hut we were going in, and he just said, drop your blankets and kit there, bring your mattress, empty mattress cover and your pillow. And he took us to the edge of the parade ground, and there was just a wooden building with a roof, sides but no front, and underneath it was bales of straw, and we had to fill our mattresses with the straw and these round pillars with the straw. That was a bit of an eye-opener for me, that. So we slept on straw, just three blankets or four blankets, whatever it was. And that was that. Then the following morning, parade at 8 o'clock. Goes on the parade ground at 8 o'clock. And I think that they must have been, the majority must have been Welsh regiments. The Welsh Fusiliers, the Welsh Regiment, the South Wales Borderers, the Royal Welsh Fusiliers. And you go on parade, everybody on parade. Nobody had a clue where you were going, what you were doing. And then you were just dismissed. And I never, ever in all my life in the service had such a cushy time, because you just didn't do anything. Nothing at all. In fact, some fellas reported for the first parade of a Monday morning, and the next parade you'd see them was pay parade on the Friday, because there was just nothing. There was far too many people there for them to do anything with, really. We just didn't do anything. All right, people were getting drafted, and I take it they were going over to whatever unit they were with, and they were going over to France and Germany, to the 21st Army. And as time passed, that's where I got told to pack my kit, report the order room, and then go to outside Shrewsbury, what's the name of the place? Church Stretton. It was Church Stretton.
And that's where you went, from there you went to the first...
From there I went to the... First Battalion South Wales Borderers. Yeah.
Now tell us about the voyage. So we've got that filled in there. So you were with the 21st Army Holding Unit from about December, January to about May.
Yeah.
Now tell me about the voyage out on the Champillon then.
It was all we used to do. They used to let us on the upper deck and we'd do a bit of arms drill and that sort of thing and PT and. But as regards anything else, there was nothing. You just sort of tried to keep you occupied by doing menial tasks, like all the messes that you were on, the decks that you were billeted on. Oh, you had hammocks, and nobody had a clue how to use them, but we did in the end, and sort of kept the place clean. We used to have to clean the bathrooms and the ablution things on the ship. And we did a bit of PT and keep fit sort of thing.
What were your mess decks like? Can you describe them?
It was just like a big room with tables, which were obviously bolted to the floor. You would never have taken it for a passenger liner. I don't know what was stripped out of it or what to do this sort of thing. But I don't know how long the journey took.
Where were you going
now,
to?
Haifa. Originally, we were told we were going to the Sudan. Then, while we were at sea, it was changed. I don't know why. That we went to Haifa. And I think the reason possibly was that the Stern Gang was operating then around Palestine and places. So I was put, when we docked in Haifa, I was put on the advance party to go to the camp. We got on these trucks and behind us there was about 4 or 5 10-tonners trucks, fully loaded. And we get to this place, we got out.
Where was the place?
It was a place. It was outside a Jewish settlement called Kiryat Haim. There was a Jewish settlement there. And down the road, about 400 or 500 yards on the corner of the main road, was a Palestine police post. But when we got off this settlement, we drove up the road. This settlement was on the right-hand side. And on the left-hand side, there was just a wide expanse of space with concrete bases here and there, and one brick building, and that was the camp. When these 10 tonners came, all the tents were offloaded. So we had the job. The first job was to put up was the officers' tents. So we had to get them up first, and the officers' mess was a brick building. That was the only brick building there. And then we started putting up company lines for A, B, C and D companies and HQ company. And these were big square tents that held, I think it was 12 people. Something like that anyway. So we had all them to get up and we finished somewhere around about 8 at night. Then the next day, the whole battalion moved up then.